Welcome to the Simply His Coffee Shop, everyone. We have another amazing show for you guys today. Last week, we were able to speak with Carissa and Cody from Royal Family Kids Camps, and that was just such a great time for you guys to learn more about what we do at the ranch. So a few weeks ago, if you want to go back even further than that, we actually talked to Nita and Kate and Joe about what we are doing at Whispering Ponies Ranch. So we thought, in keeping with that, we'd have some of our directors come on and tell us about their camps and why it's such a huge ministry just for what they do and who they are impacting. So with having said that, please help me welcome Tara and Nicole. We are so happy that you guys are here with us today to talk about TRACK, or also called Teen Reach. So how did TRACK get started?
It was started by Tim and Serena Howell. They had volunteered with Royal Family Kids Camp for a number of years, and kind of like us, their hearts broke for the kids that were being graduated out, and
yes,
it became a real burden, especially after one of the graduation ceremonies where, you know, they saw one of the campers just sobbing and saying, "You guys are my family. I can't believe I can't come back." And out of that, TRACK was born. It's for teens.
Yep.
From ages 12 to 15, and specifically, they wanted to capture those graduates of Royal Family Kids Camp and continue the relationship with them and the mentoring that goes on.
Yeah, because Royal Family is, I believe, 6 to 12?
Yes.
So, yeah, so you guys take up kind of where they leave off.
That's right.
That's amazing.
12 years
old. We love
them. What an age to have built kind of a family relationship with in this life where they
yes.
need that kind of support. And then just as they're entering the teen years, to be without. It's like the most vulnerable period of time.
You know,
the teens, it gets even harder for a lot of people than it is during childhood. So to realize you're going into that alone and without that support that you've come to rely on.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and just to clarify too, in case we are getting some new viewers on this one and they didn't see, who are the teens that you guys are reaching and ministering to?
These are foster kids who have been in the foster care system.
Right.
Some of them have been reunited with family, but they are always our family.
Okay.
So once they have gone to Royal Family, we're going to accept them if they've been adopted, if they've gone back to their homes, because mm-hmm. they're still at risk, right?
Of course.
They've been through some traumatic things.
Because they've been rescued out of abuse, neglect, all kinds of horrible things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
which is why it's so heartbreaking on the last day of camp to know where they're going back to know that
yes.
many times it's not back to adoptive parents.
Yes.
There have even been kids who've gone back to actually a new home.
That yes. happened one year. There was a young, I think it was a little boy, did not go to the same home
there
on
was
the
a little
Friday.
Girl
it was
too.
A girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, they came in on Monday from one home and did not know until Friday when he was shifted off to a different home.
That's right.
Right.
That's
yeah. just, so mean, devastating.
The child that didn't is. Know that mm-hmm. they weren't going back to their home. And some of the counselors knew because they had been told,
right.
obviously, because they had to know who was picking the child up.
Right.
But the child didn't even know until Friday
right.
when they got back to the church
right.
that somebody else was going to be picking them up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we were like terrible. Heartbroken.
Yeah.
We've had kids that have seen siblings show up at the church when they're brought back to camp that they haven't seen for a year. You know,
oh
it's so
gosh.
Emotional, you know, for those kids, and it's emotional for everyone.
Yes.
But, you know, that's why we try to build them up, because who knows what's awaiting them when they
yes.
go back. You know, we try
yes.
to just fill them up with
right.
God's love and the hope that only Jesus can give. And
right.
one difference with TRACK is that we have the liberty to take at-risk kids, kids that may have never been in foster care or reunified
okay.
with their family or adopted yet. But if they are at risk,
mm-hmm.
then we have the ability to accept them to camp. So,
that's very
but our
cool.
first priority are Royal Family Kids graduates.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do work with caseworkers and family services. And most of the kids primarily reside in foster care or residential care at 12 to 15.
Right.
A lot of them are in residential
homes. Because
they
get to be put in group homes or something. That's
yes.
kind of what the residential is.
Yes, because there's a lot less foster homes that are willing
to take older kids.
Yeah, and they come with, you know, some more trauma than the younger kids have. And so, you know, it's good that there's a place for them, but it's really hard to see them go
back
to a residential home.
Absolutely. Yeah. How does 3 days at camp, because your camps are about 3 days long, how does 3 days of camp make such an impact on these kids?
God.
Exactly.
It's just God.
One-word answer.
He wouldn't be able to make a difference for those kids. It's only the Lord and the love that we show them, you know, God's love while they're
absolutely
there.
Absolutely.
So what we think that we can do, God can accelerate.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely.
And he loves these kids so much more than even we do, even though our hearts are just for them and break for them. Right. Like, God sees it all.
Mm-hmm.
I could start to get a little emotional here.
That's okay.
There's Kleenex right there. Yeah. Just help yourself.
I don't need the Kleenex. Because these kids are very precious to the
Absolutely.
Lord. And so to think of all of the people that are involved in writing the curriculum mm-hmm. for us is just all the input and all the training that goes into it. It's really amazing. So we feel very blessed that we get to partner with Teen Reach Adventure Camp, that they do this for us mm-hmm. so that we can really reach these kids. So with that, you think about all how they really tighten it up. So from mm-hmm. the moment that our campers arrive really to registration, mm-hmm. right? Like you yes. can really speak to that because you were at registration last year mm-hmm. about just building the trust from the first moment
Absolutely.
That you see them. How important is that?
It's huge. I mean, just riding on the bus, they're so vulnerable at that time. They don't know where they're going or what it's going to be like, especially the ones that haven't been involved with Royal Family uh-huh. Previously, which up until now, I mean, this year we will have several graduates, but the previous 2 years, a lot of the kids had not been to Royal Family, so they have no clue what's ahead of them. Mm. But just being on the bus and sitting there with them and talking already, you know, you're building that rapport. And that's
yes.
what we have to be so intentional about with only 3 days. We try to integrate the themes into every conversation, right. every activity, everything
right.
we do. And our first year was on suicide prevention, you
oh,
know,
wow.
oh, I love
and,
it.
You know, telling them they have a purpose. That God has a plan for your life.
Yes.
You know, you have a hope and a future. Mm-hmm. Your life does not have to be what your past was. Mm-hmm. You know, we try to show them healthy, you know, adult relationships because we have married couples that are mm-hmm. there and just healthy people so that they can see how their future could be different. So
right.
we try to use the theme, but yet it all comes down to God's love, you
right.
know, just showing them that they matter, that they're important.
So you guys, you have 2 weekends. One weekend you do girls, and then the mm-hmm. following you do boys. So you don't do any kind of co-ed camping.
No.
Can you explain why? What the mentality?
Do well, we
I
mean, not?
I just want you guys to have an opportunity to share with the audience. I know some of this.
Yes.
Well, one thing that I love, so I'll talk about the girls. You can talk about the boys. But, you know, when girls don't, they bring all their makeup. They bring all of their beauty stuff with them. But when they get to camp and they see that there's nobody really to impress, they can let go.
I love
I gotcha.
That.
They can get mm-hmm. themselves in a safe place mm-hmm. so that God can do the work that he
Absolutely.
Brought them for.
I love that.
Nice. So I think that it's been really important. We didn't make that up. We're so thankful for the founders that they had that wisdom.
Right. Yes.
Because the younger kids are co-ed. And we don't have a lot of problems in those camps. We both work in those camps as well. We love the kids.
Yeah.
But what would you say is significant for the boys then?
Well, they're a little disappointed that there aren't girls. One boy said, "How come there's no girls? My dad told me I might meet the love of my life here. That's why I came." We're like, "Sorry,
that's why I came
dude,
to the
just
camp.
A bunch of moms and dads."
Jesus, the horses. The love of your life.
That's right.
Yeah, we hope they love horses.
Yes, that's right. But, you know, in no time. I mean, boys love to just be able to be boys, you know, all boy. And that's what camp is. They get to do all these adventurous things like fishing, the zip line, the rock climbing wall, all those cool things, you know, and they enjoy it so much. I don't know that they necessarily do what girls do, like they have to look good and all
uh-huh.
of that. But, you know, guy time, they love it. And what they really love is having men there.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I noticed that was huge. In fact, that was my biggest takeaway
that's cool.
is how important men are. in both camps.
Yes.
They both absolutely, both boys godly and girls, men. Crave mm-hmm. healthy men in their lives.
Absolutely.
The girls would just flock to the older men. First, they're standoffish, and then when they realize that these are safe men, mm-hmm. they just love to just sit and talk because they don't have that. And right. the boys, they love to have men that are going to keep them in line. I mean, most of the, you know, people that are really involved in their life are women. They have foster moms. You know, yep. most teachers are women. Their caseworkers yep. are generally women. And so to have these men there saying, mm-hmm. hey, we're not going to do that. Come on, guys. You know, they pay attention.
Right.
Or, guys, come on, let's stand in the rain and fish. And they're like, we can do this? You know, because as women, we're right. like, you're going to catch a cold. Come on, let's wait. It'll blow over. But, you funny. Know, the guys are there to offer adventure and encourage them to be manly. And it's a place where it's safe for them to be rough and tumble. And they're loved even when they do things that are not very lovable, you know,
yes.
by men and by the women that are there.
What's one of the stories, and I know Nicole loves to tell stories, what's one of the stories that you could maybe just kind of highlight really quick of one of the children that whatever has happened to them and they kind of, you saw a huge difference mm-hmm. in their life at the end of the week?
Yeah, so it was boys camp. I'll talk about boys camp. And there's so many stories that you have to pick one, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But one that's very special to me is one of the boys that came in and he's one of the older kids. He is big, and he just seemed kind of tough. And I think he was kind of not necessarily bullying the boys, but there mm-hmm. is some, like, we're going to see who's the toughest here.
Right.
And so that was going on. But throughout the weekend, we saw he wasn't really that tough.
It was his facade mm-hmm. because of what he had been through.
Yeah. And so when I talk about how it's so important that God is present, mm-hmm. is that it seems like the campers choose a person who they will open up to.
Yes.
And every year, I've always had at least one. And I don't know who they're going to be because they find me. It yeah. just is what happens. And so this particular boy... it was me. And I was just really thankful because the Lord would give me wisdom on what to say, how to reach him. And there were some really, you know, behaviors and things that they're not the same as my teenagers.
Yes.
So I can't work out of a place of my education or my understanding. I have to come from the place of Holy Spirit and hearing and just acting out on that.
Yes.
And so there were several things that God came through. He just kept coming through. But going from tough guy to somebody who was deathly afraid of the zip line.
I remember.
So afraid. And we tried to encourage him. I mean, he's this big, huge guy. He's the biggest kid yeah. probably in the whole camp. And he's up there just so afraid. Yeah. And then I saw the gentleness of Joe. Who
yeah,
was
my
up
husband
on the...
Joe was the one running the zip line. And he remembers like, this very well.
Joe is my favorite person now.
Yay, Joe.
Yay, Joe. If you can love and be gentle with a foster child, to uh-huh. me, I'm like, you're golden. You're just golden because God loves these children so much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a longer story, but to see that transition and see the gentleness of Joe mm-hmm. was so helpful. And then it's like you get this nonverbal, you know, Joe and I like, okay, is he okay? What's he going to do? And
right.
Joe had so much wisdom and I appreciated that. And he didn't go. He did not zip down. I mean, Mr. Tough Guy did yep. not zip down that first day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we had to really be cautious about there. You don't want to pressure them because you
course.
Want this to be safe for them mm-hmm. to feel like that right. if they don't do this that they're, you know.
Yes. Well, and I will say just really quickly on the whole zip line thing, part of the reason we even have one, and you guys may not know this as well, the zip line is them having to trust. It's them learning how to trust you because you're talking these kids down. I've been up there too when we were back at Camp Davidson, but Joe's a master at it. It's basically teaching that child, you can trust the equipment. Mm-hmm. You can trust me. I would never put you in danger. So it is totally a trust building yes. situation and whether they go or not, because this has to be a choice they make.
Right.
Nobody can make this choice right. for them. Yes. They have to choose to take that basically leap of faith and jump off the platform. Right. And that's such a huge thing for some of these kids. And it is a big healing point, and that's why we even have one.
Mm-hmm. It's also a very team building
event
because the person at the top of the zip, you think the kids down below are going to start calling him, "You're a chicken." Oh, it doesn't happen.
No.
They're like, you can do it. You can do this.
Yeah, the encouragement.
Then it becomes this whole big rally where people cheer each other on. And these are things these kids are not getting out there.
This
is where they get this, is when they come to the camp. Tell me something.
We have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back on the other side of this break.
The Bible makes it very clear in James and Matthew that God wants us to care for the least of these, the orphans, the neglected children who have, for any number of reasons, found themselves alone without the family they were born into. God says that by taking care of these children, whom He holds so dear, we're actually caring for God Himself. The sad truth is that in many cases, the loss is only part of the problem. They've had to live through unspeakable trauma, neglect, abuse, and abandonment, situations most of us could not even fathom. Every year, Skywatch TV, Simply His Coffee Shop, and Defender Publishing partner with you, our viewers, to help support and work alongside ministries like ForTheChildren.org, Royal Family Kids Camps, and TeenReach.org to make a real difference in the lives of these children through the work done at Whispering Ponies Ranch, underwritten by the nonprofit Skywatch TV Ministry. This year, for your donation of $35 plus shipping and handling, you can take part in the Whispering Ponies Ranch special offer. Included in this amazing offer is a copy of Nita Horn, the founder of Whispering Ponies Ranch, book, No Fences, It Started with a Plastic Pony. This sometimes heartbreaking, exquisitely told, and often hilarious memoir is the inspiring true story of a poor little girl's dream of horses and where that love would eventually lead. Nita Horn's journey through triumph, loss, survival, sacrifice, devotion, acceptance, forgiveness, and finally, success in Christ will stir your heart and offer you hope in the many seasons of life we all stand to face. But that's not all. You'll also receive the copy of the emotional DVD, Camp, which was inspired by the real-life testimonies and stories of the campers who have been through the Royal Family Kids Camps over the years. You'll learn about these unique and special summer camps designed to help draw children out of their dark pasts and into a bright future. Camp will inspire you and others to find hope in the midst of the most difficult circumstances that life can offer. And as a special bonus, you'll receive your very own Whispering Ponies Ranch keychain and mug. This is our way of saying thank you for partnering with us to do all that we can to help the least of these. Get your copy of the Whispering Ponies Ranch special offer for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling and or join us as a pony or VIP sponsor. Available now through Skywatch TV and the Simply His Coffee Shop at skywatchtvstore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Not getting out there. This is where they get this, is when they come to the camp. Tell me something.
She needs to finish her story first.
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw that out there, because that's
totally
such
fine.
An important
piece. That's what's the matter with conversation. It just kind
of
happens, and I'm a pig trail person, remember?
So Mr. Tough Guy was up there a long time.
Yeah.
And everybody gets kind of impatient, and kids will tend to say, just go.
Just go already.
But he came down the stairs.
Yes.
That first day. So then I had a whole day to really have conversations and let him know, like, you can do this if you want to, but it doesn't change your value.
Right.
So I got to have some really good conversations. Mm-hmm. So when he went up the next day, he was going to go. And Joe knew he was going to go. And I was... like away from the building. I was doing something else or from the zip line in another building. And I'm telling you this because I want you to know how much it builds trust with the staff at your camp and us. That's what that did for me that day.
Well,
it's like
you.
Somebody has my back. So Joe said, get Nicole. So they got me on the radio and they said, he's going to go down. He's going down the zip line. You aren't going to want to
come and see this.
And I said,
so good.
Tell him to wait for me. And I took the golf cart so fast up. I mean, the pedal all the way down, and that still's not very fast.
You can almost run.
But I got there in time to see him go down.
Yay.
That's so
so
good.
That's teamwork with our staff and your staff.
Absolutely.
At its best.
Absolutely.
I remember being in the other camp that we worked at, and actually there was one that was 60 feet.
Yeah.
So it was extremely high.
High.
And I just remember at times some of the kids would say, can you just push me? Can you just push me off the platform? And it's like, no, you have to do this on it. So also they're learning to trust themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're learning, I can do this scary thing I didn't think I could do.
Right.
And it boosts their own opinion of themselves and their own self-esteem. Because they're able to conquer their own fear, which generalizes into a million other areas of their life.
Yeah. So did you notice a difference in his attitude once he had gone?
There was other shifting throughout that weekend as
right.
well. But that was like the cherry on top, actually. And I think that was our last day.
That was our last day.
But the softness. So remember I told you he came in so tough. There was a softness.
Mm-hmm.
That came out.
And adding to that, the same boy, you know, the first day we give these little beads for if they want to pray for their meal. And it's no pressure. It's voluntary. And the first day, the same young man was mocking the kids that were praying, you know, just making fun, you know, and definitely part of that jockeying for position. And him and a couple boys, the last day he had his hand up and wanted to pray at both meals.
Oh, yeah,
breakfast.
Aww.
And
cool.
So, I mean, you can just see that. And later he told my husband that he would be starting his 10th school in the fall. So there's always a reason behind the behaviors. You know, that's his survival technique, jockeying for position to come out on top.
When you're always the new kid.
That's right.
You got to go in tough.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he was super proud of himself on being able to get over that. And I think throughout the week, too, Joe and Kate, my daughter, had noticed a huge what you guys saw too, that transformation. Uh-huh. And it doesn't always take long because God is there to help that process along.
And our goal is that when they leave, that they feel loved and valued and seen and all of the things that God wants for all of us.
Yeah.
But they need it like on steroids.
That's right. Yes.
Because they've gotten so much of the negative. And this year's theme is on identity. And I'm like, that is.
I love it.
That's my subject. I love it. We're going to have a lot of fun with it.
So we've kind of semi-touched on this, but not fully. How do you get your campers? Do you have certain people like social workers say, hey, I have some kids that you guys really need to take to camp? Or how do you get your campers?
Well, we have a placement coordinator who's very good at what she does. In fact, she's a foster mom. And we get all of, you know, we have a list of all the graduates from our Royal Family Kids Camp. And then, you know, we are the only track in Missouri. We contact the other Royal Family camps and get their list of graduates. And then she makes contact with them. And then we just start going through our contacts of caseworkers. We get the information out. I'm a CASA. And so I get the information out to CASA, which I don't know if you're familiar, but that's a court-appointed special advocate.
Okay.
So you're assigned a child in foster care and you advocate for their needs. And so I get that word out to all the CASAs. And we've had a couple kids from CASA come. You know, it's just word of mouth right now. A lot of people are becoming more familiar with TRAC.
Yes.
A lot, you know, many of the caseworkers know about Royal Family Kids
Camp. So hopefully we'll need to get you guys some more camps because it'll just explode.
I hope so. I hope so. We need it. There is a great need. Yeah.
Is there a maximum amount of kids that you like to see? What's your happy amount? You have a maximum run.
Mm-hmm. Our goal is 16 boys and 16 girls. And we're hoping that will grow.
So then if you get more than that, you're going to have to create more camps for those guys. Are you guys out there listening to this? They need help. We need help.
Yeah. The camp, we can accommodate more kids.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, we have to have enough volunteers.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
That
is
how we can grow. That is the main.
Oh, yeah.
And this is 3 days. So a person, once they're through the training, and there is training and extensive screening and stuff like that you guys do. But once they're through all that, we're talking about 3 days.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's a month somebody's got to come.
No, it's so easy. To me, it's such an easy decision.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to have the heart, and we're not. Yeah. So we're never going to be desperate that we would just take somebody because they're filling a spot.
Right.
That is not what the Lord wants.
No.
There has to be an alignment, a heart, a reason.
Yes. Right. Absolutely.
And then they fit in.
Yes.
Really well with what we do.
Mm-hmm. And we are down to about 3 minutes, so just really quick. I want to make sure, though, too, and I know we're going to talk about this probably more in depth in next week's episode because they are coming back. So, yay, right? That's going to be exciting, and talk a little bit more about the volunteers and how you viewers at home can even help. Or if you're sitting on your couch and you're looking for a ministry that's speaking to your heart, Royal Family Kids Camps and track is so important, and you could be making a big, big difference. But just kind of tell the viewers, where do they even start? What website can they go to maybe fill out a form to start looking for that volunteer position? How do they do that?
Well, to volunteer at our camp, they can email us at trackspringfield@gmail.com.
Okay.
And I will get back to them ASAP. There is the national track website if they're wanting to know more about
it. Because we have viewers, you know, all over the United States. So we do have many local people. So get a hold of Tara.
Yes.
Too. But we do have people nationwide, too, that are watching and could possibly. Because I know that at Whispering Ponies, we actually host your guys' training. So people from all over the Midwest actually come to camp to learn how to then teach your programs, which we love doing that. It's so much fun. So what's the national website for track?
So that's teenreach.org.
Teenreach.org. Mm-hmm. Perfect. And is there anything else you guys would like to say as we're getting ready to close out the program?
Just thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for hosting our camps. We literally would not be able to have camp if it were not for you. So we are so appreciative, and we pray for you. We pray for your staff as we're praying for camp, and we're just so appreciative. You're such a blessing. I mean, I don't think we can thank them enough for all that they do.
Well, and that's got to do with our donors.
I was
our donors are supporting this ministry.
Yes.
Yes. So thank you
yes.
to all of you out there that do support Whispering Ponies Ranch and Skywatch TV. They couldn't do all of that they do without your support, and we covet your prayers. Your prayers are so much more than even anything else that you guys can give. Is pray for us during the summertime when we're running camps. Pray for us in the spring when they're training for the camps and getting the kids, that God will touch the kid that needs to be touched the most, and that he will actually be, or her, at camp. That's just so important. We really need your prayers more than anything, but we are all out of time. So you don't want to miss next week, though. Tara and Nicole will be coming back, and we'll be continuing this conversation. We will see you next time on the Simply His Coffee Shop.